And one of the things I will often say is, remember, depression hates a moving target. Can you just get out of bed?
I'm here with Nita Sweeney, who is an author, a runner, and so much more. And I can't wait for her to share that so much more. Welcome to the Walk Talk Challenge, Nita.
Hey, thank you. I'm pretty excited to be here. This is so much fun.
So you and I have recorded this before, and we actually did walk. I could hear the birds chirping in the background where you were walking in a ravine by your house. And of course, I, because of the pollen and the rain, was walking inside my house. So you could kind of hear us breathing a little bit. Tech is absolutely wonderful until it doesn't work. And this is one of those it didn't work times. So we've decided to scrap the walking and we're sitting down and actually, with our microphones and ready to roll, because the message and the mission that you have and what you're doing is so, it's so big. And yet when you say so big, it can be kind of scary. But I think a lot of times the small things that we do are really, really big things out in the world. It's that little ripple effect. So talk about the beginnings of your ripple effect in relation to your running and your writing.
Okay, let me start with the running, because that's probably the easiest thing to explain. In 2010, I was much larger than I am now. I was almost 50 and very, very depressed and grief-stricken. I've managed mental health issues for most of my life, especially in my adult life. I'm bipolar and I have chronic depression. So it wasn't a surprise when, after a bad year where a whole bunch of loved ones died and I was struggling with writing and just struggling a lot of different ways, I wound up kind of stuck to the sofa, and basically stuck to the sofa eating also. And one day I was sitting there scanning Facebook, and a high school friend posted, "Call me crazy, but this running is getting to be fun." And I thought, she has lost her mind. She really has. She's gone over the edge. This is ridiculous. But I'm laughing now because that might be what people think of me. But she had taken up an interval training plan. She was just running, 60 seconds here, 2 minutes there, just little intervals of running. And so I followed her journey, because the thought that crossed my mind after I thought she was crazy was, wait a minute, I'm stuck to the sofa and she's not. She's about the same age as I am, about the same size as I am. I know her. I know she wasn't athletic in school. Both rode horses and I was in band, but we didn't play any of the games. We weren't on track, anything like that. And here she is enjoying physical activity. And so I watched. And after a while, I looked up the training plan she was using, and it said, I'm using air quotes here, 60 seconds of jogging. And that thought crossed my mind, maybe if she can do it, I can. And that might actually be my message about everything, about running, about writing, about meditation, about how to stay on the planet, mental health issues, as to just be an example. So I had looked up the plan and I was a bit paranoid, afraid that my neighbors would laugh at me if they saw me jogging in the neighborhood. And so I leashed up our dog kind of as a decoy, but also for emotional support, because I didn't want to try this alone. And he liked to walk and I figured he'd like to run too. So we went down into that very ravine where you and I talked last week. It's a very secluded area, even though it's a suburban neighborhood. There's lots of trees and greenery. And I carried a little digital kitchen timer, one of those little plastic square white kitchen timers, set it for 60 seconds, and then got up the courage to actually jog for 60 seconds. And I can't say my life changed instantly, but it was the beginning of a huge shift in the way I manage my mental health challenges and really the way I live my life. And it was just such a simple little thing. And so I think if I have any kind of message, it's to just be open to some simple little thing that you might never have considered and try that and see what happens. but that's where it started. And I actually wrote a book about it. It's called Depression Hates a Moving Target, How Running with My Dog Brought Me Back from the Brink. And in there, I talk about that experience and then what happened next and all the physical challenges I had and emotional challenges I had at my age, at my weight, taking up running, and eventually being able to succeed. And now I've been running for more than 11 years. It almost feels like I never didn't run, because that's what happens when you just keep doing something, you become that thing. And so I'm a runner, and that's part of my identity now. But it was just that tiny, tiny little thing where I saw that post, and I didn't go to the training plan right away. It took a little while. It was winter when I saw it, and she lived in Florida, and I'm in Central Ohio. And in the spring in Central Ohio, the first thing that you see out of the snow sometimes is a little crocus, a little purple flower, it's a bulb. It'll pop up through the snow, or snow bells, little white flowers, look like bells. And those started to pop up, and something inside me shifted. And she was still posting, you know, once a week, twice a week. And that little tiny shift was what it took.
You know, I really like the idea of the encouragement that you found from a friend. And I have to say that I've been inspired and encouraged by others as well. You know, folks talk a lot of negativity about social media, and like anything, it's a tool. It can work for you or against you, and you can choose to allow it to work for you or against you. And I think if we manage that, it makes a big difference. But I usually am looking for the folks that I care about or that I know, and supporting them in their successes and in their challenges. And I have been the recipient of that support on the other side in two ways. One, I did a health, fitness, beauty quest back in like 2013, 2014, 2015, in those years. And I was trying to discover, as a woman in her mid-40s, what was it like to be healthy? What was it like to be fit? And what was it like to be beautiful, you know, for me? Because I think beauty, it's unique to each individual. And through that, I picked up cycling and did a lot of cycling challenges for myself. And through that, later on, people would come up to me and they'd say, I started seeing all your posts about cycling. And I thought, boy, that looks like fun. And boy, she's having fun. And so I decided to do it with my kids. And pretty soon, my husband joined in. And now we are a cycling family. We do this. It's part of what we do now. But I wanted to come up to you and tell you that you inspired me in that, which totally blew me away, because I was not, it was very self-serving what I was doing. I was posting kind of to hold myself accountable and also to share what I was doing, because that's what we do on social. But to hear people come out to me later to say that I inspired them was like, oh. And I had never thought of myself as an inspiration, because I'm always inspired by others. And so sometimes us sharing, it's not so much self-indulgent or even, you know, I was doing it for accountability, but we can be that pebble for someone else's journey and be an inspiration for them to start a path. And I love that your friend was an inspiration for you. And I am not guessing. I know that you were the inspiration and continue to be an inspiration to others. Talk about that Depression Hates a Moving Target, because you mentioned that as a title of your book, but there is so much more to it than just that.
Yeah, that's just a big, kind of like a philosophy that I learned the hard way. You know, after being stuck in bed a lot, like I said, glued to the sofa for many years, there were many years where I wasn't able to do anything really productive because my depression was just so bad. But what I could do was get out of bed. And so a lot of the community that I'm in, the members of the community also, you know, suffer from mental health issues, have challenges. And so we talk to each other on the phone. And one of the things I will often say is, remember, depression hates a moving target. Can you just get out of bed? Or depression hates a moving target. Can you just do one productive thing? And for me, that, you know, we're fighting inertia. That's what I always feel like. We're fighting inertia. And it's the depression, so it's real. It's not like we're making this up. But there's something about movement. And not even the kind of movement that, like the breaking a sweat, which I believe really is what it takes for me to get kind of out of the depression, but just that movement to brush your teeth, to eat breakfast, to get, you know, my depression was very severe. I was suicidal. I've been hospitalized. I've been on and off medications, been in therapy for many years. And so we're talking about survival here. And at that level, the movement can just be throwing off the covers. Now, let me take it further. In the writing, it's moving your pen or moving your hands on the keyboard, your fingers on the keyboard. It's that same thing. I often joke with myself. I mean, I talk to myself all the time. I really do. Just open the file. So I'll have set aside a time to work on a project or something will be due, or I'll have something I want to work on. You know, I have a blog. I blog for other people. I do a lot of that kind of thing. And I still have a lot of anxiety around it. And so I talk to myself as if I were a very loving friend or a loving parent. And I'll just say, it's okay, Nita. It's okay to be nervous. Just open the file. And again, just get moving. And then once the file is open, just start reading the document or just start typing. I have studied with a very long time, for a very long time, and I was actually her assistant, a best-selling author named Natalie Goldberg, whose most famous book is called Writing Down the Bones. And she teaches what's called writing practice. And the main rule of writing practice is keep your hand moving. And to me, that's just the same thing as depression hates a moving target. Because if you get moving, the depression or the anxiety or the monkey mind or the inner critic or whatever the thing is that is in, you know, the lizard brain, I don't know what it is, but the part of me that wants to stop me, that thinks that whatever I'm doing is somehow dangerous, which is a whole nother issue, but that part of me, it may still keep yakking at me. It may keep yammering away. But if I am in the document writing, if I am on the trail running, if I am unloading the dishwasher, if I am on the cushion meditating, if I am doing the thing, whatever that thing is, it can talk all at once. And I just keep doing the thing. And so it's kind of a philosophy that applies to pretty much everything in my life. There's plenty of times to be still. I mean, like I said, I'm a meditator. But even there, I have to get to the meditation. I have to choose to sit, or I have to choose, okay, I'm going to do a walking meditation, or I have to choose to go to a retreat. You know, that's still kind of a movement to get to that place. So I think it just sort of encompasses a lot for me.
You know, I think about movement and I also think of action. So one of the things that resonates with me is that, you know, the moving, right, which is really taking action. If you have a pen in your hand, if you're sitting meditating, if you're out running, it's really taking action. And as you said, even if it's as much as moving, taking the blankets off of you while you're in bed, that's an action, that's movement. And those little signals kind of encourage us to move a little bit more. And even if it's small movements, we can really get there. So when we talk about the aspect of what you're doing now and what things you'll be doing in the future, because there are more than just the running that you're doing. There's a whole lot more. So can you share a little bit more about what's coming up for Nita?
Sure. I'd love to talk about that. So it's kind of a question mark at this point. I have lots of options, which is a wonderful place to be. I have drafted, it isn't finalized yet, a book of daily meditations about living in the moment. And so that is something that might get out into the world at some point. I also have some ideas for writing books, kind of memoir / how-to, which is sort of what Depression Hates a Moving Target is, about the years I studied with Natalie and what I learned from her. And I'm also thinking about writing about how to write your own mental health story, how to write a mental health memoir, because it's a little tricky when you have the mental health challenges not to re-traumatize yourself when you're writing about the stuff. And so, you know, the way to stick your toe into that and create some structure around the writing, so the writing actually gets done, and that it's at a good quality level, you know, lots of heart, deep emotion, but also that you don't kind of damage yourself in the process, which there's a lot of stories about that with writers, just the agony that can happen when you try to tell your own story. And it, I mean, I've been through there, through that and done that. And there are plenty of ways to do it. So that's an option. I just have lots of things. I currently run two Facebook groups. One is called Mind, Mood, and Movement. And you can just put that in Facebook. And every couple of days, I post a practice. It's either a writing practice, a mindfulness practice, or a movement practice. And these aren't, I'll toss in a challenge from time to time, but it's more my take on those three things as a meditative practice. So, you know, we may talk about how as we age, we lose our balance. And so there's practices you can do to help with balance. Or I may be talking about writing for publication. But always in that, there's this component of keeping your head where your feet are, needing sort of, I call it a daily dose of now, where you just need that spark of, I'm right here, like right now. I'm in Columbus, Ohio, in this chair, talking to you, and that's where I'm at. You know, all of those sorts of things. But I just have lots of options, and that feels really good. So I don't completely know what's next. I am really enjoying talking about the first book, Depression Hates a Moving Target, and becoming a bit of a mental health advocate, because that wasn't necessarily my plan. I wanted to be an author. That just happened to be the story that caught fire and that a publisher wanted to hear. I have lots of other memoirs and family dynamic kinds of things to share with other people. But becoming a bit of a mental health advocate has felt really natural. And I didn't necessarily see that coming. I kind of joke about being an accidental mental health advocate because I didn't really see it. Which seems a bit, like, how did I not see that? But yeah, so I'm on the board of one organization still I run, Runners for Mental Health. I'm also working with Chi Running to raise awareness for mental health. I'm going to be in a music video. Jason Didner did a lovely song called Run With My Troubles, and that's going to be released very soon, or may have already been released by the time we air this. So there's just all these opportunities, and I'm trying to guard my time, guard my energy, but also kind of step into any door that opens, walk through the doors that open for me. So it's a bit of a balance.
I like that a lot, how you're open to new opportunities, but also protective of yourself. And I think that's a key here, because there's going to be a lot of opportunities that come to us, especially as women entrepreneurs, as people in business, as creatives. It's a kind of a tough slog getting started because no one knows who we are and we're really in it by ourselves and we have to be our own cheerleaders. But then once our work gets out there, folks find it and they become our champions. And as you said, you're stepping into this advocacy role that you never pictured for yourself. And I agree. To me, it seems like a no-brainer, but I can see where if I was just starting out, I wouldn't think of the advocacy aspect of what I'm doing because I'm still just trying to be in the process of getting these things out. And I love that you're involved in so many things, because the challenge with any of our messages is that we're the ones who are spearheading it and we're the ones really going out there. But when you have a community that embraces it and that believes in the work and then, you know, celebrates it and gets it out to more people, that's an opportunity really for you to have a platform to really share that message for more folks, not just from the perspective of the person who is experiencing these things and using movement to counteract it or to balance it, but also to their loved ones who, you know, may not know how to properly support that situation. And really, it goes for anyone, because I know that when I was first starting to get fit, it was all new dynamics and new lingo and a new me. I didn't know what that me doing these things was going to be or who I was. And so it's a transformation. And I'm really grateful for the community that was supported me through that and has been there for that. So I really like that you have a community, because that, to me, having a community to support you through the ups, the downs, and to celebrate with you makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, I agree. I have to say, one of the biggest surprises has been how amazing the running community is. Much of my anxiety about running was a stereotype of you had to be a certain size, you shouldn't be this old, You had to be a certain speed. You had to wear certain clothes. And I was so pleasantly surprised when I finally went to my first 5K, which was a bit of an accident. You can read about that in the book. It involved my sister talking me into something. And I walked in expecting it to be, you know, this bunch of skinny young guys, basically, is what I thought I was walking into it. And there were these whole families and people of every color and shape and size and wearing just everything. And they were so welcoming. And then finally, when I decided to run longer distances and joined a running group, the same thing. I mean, there's always a few people who just are into their own thing and aren't necessarily welcoming. But for the most part, the runners, I mean, they're just amazing. My husband was really sick during 2020. He had a heart attack and then open heart surgery, and then he was on a feeding tube for a number of months. And so we were not only isolated, you know, self-isolating because of the pandemic, but we were also very, very hyper-focused on getting him well, which we did. He's great now. And the runners, I mean, they would come with food and just drop it off on the doorstep. One day, shortly after he got out of the hospital, either the second or third time, I got a text from one of my runner friends that said, "Look out the front window, or look out your window." And in our front yard, six, maybe eight of them were standing in our front yard, spaced apart, you know, socially distanced, with race signs they had made for Ed, my husband, cheering him to get well. I still choke up. I mean, that's, I just couldn't even imagine. They had orchestrated this whole thing and just showed up on a Saturday morning in our front yard to just cheer us. And I'm sure that there are a lot of communities that are that supportive, but another thing I didn't see coming was the family that it's created. And there's the common bond, the common interest. There's all the time you spend together, because when you're training for long distances, and especially if you're as slow as I am, and I make no apologies for that, you're out on the trail with these people for hours. I mean, hours, every week, week after week after week. And then, of course, we have to go to breakfast afterwards. So you really get to know these people, but they're just some of the kindest people. And that community, it's part of what keeps me coming back, I think, because it's not just, you know, there's like a lot of things with the running. I'll get real specific about the running here. There's the structure of a training plan, whether it's the initial interval plan or whatever. So I always encourage people to have a goal race, some 5K in the future to be training for. So you have the structure of that training plan, whether it's a, you know, couch to 5K kind of thing or whatever it is, just some kind of plan. So there's that structure, because checking off that, hey, I ran for, you know, I worked out for 20 minutes with my run walk intervals of 5-1 or whatever, checking that off that schedule, that's a dopamine hit. And then, of course, there's the physical activity itself, which creates endocannabinoids. So a neurotransmitter similar to medical marijuana, cannabis, and then the endorphins, but it's actually endocannabinoids is the physical process. There's the psychological thing of, hey, I did the thing I said I was going to do. And then there's this community of people. So if you join some kind of group, even if it's just a Facebook group or Strava or Garmin or any of that, you can, you know, follow other people and they can cheer you on. There's little challenges you can do. So all of those things work together for me to create emotional and mental health benefits beyond just the actual physical activity. So yeah, the community has just been amazing.
You mentioned your Facebook group earlier, but I'd like for folks to know where they can learn more about you, where they can purchase your book. Give us, though, how can we get more of you and your message and your mission?
Oh, thank you for asking that. The best place is my website, nitasweeney.com, nitasweeney.com. And on there, there's, of course, the general subscription, follow Nita, you know, on my email list. But there's also a free ebook called 3 Ways to Heal Your Mind, in which I talk about the three methods, primary methods that I use to stay on the planet, the things that I use as mental health tools. And so feel free to download that free ebook. I'm on bunches of social media platforms. The one I'm most active on is probably Twitter, and beyond the Facebook group. So there's the Facebook group, Mind, Mood, and Movement, and then the Writer's Mind, which is more of a writing to publish kind of group. And I also have locally here, I have a newsletter that I publish called Right Now Columbus. So if anybody happens to be in Central Ohio and is interested in writing, that's there. And all of that is on my website. So NitaSweeney.com is the best place. And then the books, Depression Hates a Moving Target. And I have a writing journal called You Should Be Writing. And they're available wherever fine books are sold. So if you like Amazon, they're all there. The first book, Depression Hates a Moving Target, is in ebook, paperback, and there's an audio book. And then You Should Be Writing, it's a writing journal. So of course, there's the physical book, but you can also get an ebook that just has the writing quotes and little micro essays in the ebook if you like that format. So they're all available out there. Most bookstores can order. It's distributed through Ingram. So most bookstores can order either of the book. You can get it from, you can ask your library system to get any of those. And I would love that. So.
Fantastic. I'm listening to the audiobook through Audible and I am enjoying the heck out of it. So thank you so much for joining me on the Walk Talk Challenge.
Thanks. It's great to be here. You asked great questions. Thank you so much.